Well, it's great to be here, isn't it? Last night when I left, I headed right towards that tornado that went across Franklin County, Licking County, the Newark area, and I drove into that rain, and I'd stopped and got me a burger and fries and Frosty, and it about spilled everywhere on me, trying to eat while driving to get back. What a drive home. I did catch a few drops coming tonight, so I pray that I won't face anything nearly as bad going home. While I'm rambling, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 13. When Pastor had called me last week and wanted me to jump in, he mentioned revival, and that I just can't get away from that thought. So my message is kind of missionary revival, but it's probably more revival than missionary. And before I go any further, I was looking at the prayer cards, and Brother of Baptist Mid-Missions, I grew up in that town and graduated from Mid Park High School when it still existed. I know exactly where that is up there. That is wonderful. And Brother Six, I have been many times to, where are you hiding at? Oh, I've been many times to your church for pastors' fellowships. So we have a mature veteran down front, and boy, there's replacements behind. So going to Scandinavia, wow, I don't know if I want to go there. They got a lot of problems if you follow the news. Anyway, I thought tonight I would talk about some things that, as a 30-year pastor, that I dealt with in members in our church, and I talked to many missionaries in 30 years, many evangelists, many pastors, and they have gone through some of the same things I'm going to talk about tonight, things that they had to handle. And I want you to know some of the things all the things I'm talking about tonight are just not unique to Columbus, Ohio, or Ohio. These things are happening all over the world. In 2 Samuel 13, in verse 2, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. Father, bless the preaching of thy word tonight. May the Holy Spirit do what I am not able to do. Take the message, apply it in a revival sense and in the mission sense to all who are here tonight. If there is one here outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, may tonight that one or some repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. May the Holy Spirit convict our hearts in areas of our life where we need improvement, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Certainly, if you know the account, this is one of the most sickening moments in the Bible. I'm not even going to talk about what went on here. I want you to notice several things. Number one, Amnon, what he wanted to do, it says he thought it hard for him to do what he wanted to do. But he finally was able to do what he wanted to do because he had a friend. He had a friend. Sometimes if you find things that are hard to do, you just don't know how to do it, and you really want to do it, but it's really hard, I tell you, the old devil will have somebody out there that will help you do that. My title of my message tonight, and don't get nervous, okay? The Ten Commandments of What I Find Hard to Do. You're looking at your watch, you're thinking, 10 points, I may skip a few. Would that be okay? Yeah, oh, yeah, right. All right, you already got to sing. You're ready to go. I thought about that. What he wanted to do was hard. I want to talk to you about 10 things in my life that I really find hard to do. And it's like a big wall has been erected, and for Amnon to get over that wall, he's going to have to go way up high, and that's going to be a hard thing to do to get on the other side to finally do what he wants to do. And in my life, through a Christian home, staying faithful in church, reading the Bible, the Lord has built some walls that I find it hard to get over to do some things that others have done. Such as, number one, there's absolutely no time to go to every reference. I'm going to give you the reference, okay? Number one, you know what I find it hard to do? I find it hard to cheat on my wife. Do missionaries deal with that? Scandinavia, oh my goodness, what a moral issue they have over there. I personally find it really, really hard to get over that tall wall to get on the other side to cheat my wife. But yet, it happens all the time. I could tell you story after story after story, so could every minister here tonight, of possibly friends or other missionaries or other pastors, evangelists, etc., who have done just this. But I wonder out loud to people who are doing this, what is the end game? Now, by the way, the reference I had was Proverbs 6, verses 30 to 35. What is the end game? I mean, you're going to be sneaking around. You're going to be lying, deceitful. You may have to have multiple phones. And am I going to text her on this one? Is she going to text me on that one? Now you're worried. Now you have to explain where you're going all your time to your wife. I find that really hard to do. What a mess one gets themselves into when they cheat on their spouse. Now, I'm a normal man like everybody else here. When you know, growing up, I mean, girls were beautiful. Am I alone? Last night, oh yeah, I got a partner in crime here, don't I? Yes. I tell my wife everything. You say everything? I, honest to goodness, she were here tonight, she'd be going like, yeah, I wish he wouldn't, you know. You know, one time I had concocted an idea where, Pastor, I was going to buy the Cleveland Browns. I had this whole thing out, and I didn't want to tell anybody because I was embarrassed, so I told her, you know what she did? Ha ha, you're crazy. She brought me down to earth real quick. Men learn to confide in your wives. Tell her your heart. Tell her your struggles if there's a struggle in this area. Ladies, better he tell you his struggles in this area than he tells another woman. And all the ladies said, boy, the men gonna unload tonight. Get ready. But I saw my dad and mom. I saw, boy, devoted to each other. I saw Christians growing up wherever I was at, devoted to each other. And I happened to love my wife. And what would that do to her? Ladies, what would that do if you found out that your husband had been doing just what Amnon wanted to do in a moral issue? What would it do to your children? My, I don't want to hurt my kids. It would destroy my kids. And all my grandkids, what would they think of their pawpaw, who went way up over that wall to accomplish what some do? So I've got a tall wall there. And by the grace of God, I am never going to cheat on my wife. I find that hard to do. And all the men said, amen. Ladies, you happy your husband said amen there? Or didn't he? I don't know. Number two, I need to move along. I find it hard to disrespect my elders. Proverbs 16:31 and Proverbs 20:29 talk just about that. The church I took over in downtown Columbus in 1979, there were 17 folks left. They were all in their 80s and 90s. And I was so excited to take that church. But I would go over their homes and I would just sit and they would talk to me about life. I learned so much. They had seen so much. That's why over in Titus it talks about the aged women teaching who? The younger ladies. And I think one of the best things that our churches can do is let one of the older ladies come in and talk to the teen girls. Just share their hearts. There was a man who was a realtor in our neck of the woods in downtown Columbus. He was not a saved man, even though he was witnessed to by myself and others. He was a good man, a good realtor, and he found out that other realtors in that area were going up and down all the streets of the Short North. That's all a fine arts area right now in downtown Columbus. But they would go up and down, and they'd knock on the doors, and they'd offer these elderly, aged people $10,000 cash for their house, when they were worth 60, 70, and 80,000. And after that, soon, prices in that area now 300,000, 400,000. How could you cheat a senior? How could anybody cheat someone like that? It's all about money, isn't it? And to cheat an elderly person is beyond my scope. If I ever would have called an adult by their first name, my dad would have grabbed me by the neck and squeezed my head off. I mean, it was total respect for my elders. Now, I've met many a missionary who say in their countries, you respect to seniors. Family is extremely important. But any young kid, any young girl or boy who sasses a senior citizen or anything like that, God have mercy on you. Who taught you that? Or was it just your normal sin nature taking over? Old people are to be respected. They're wise. They're seasoned. They see the big picture that we can't see. Point three. I find it hard not to financially support my church. And I could throw out Malachi 3, Luke 6. Growing up, I watched my dad tithe. My dad taught me about tithing, and I just tithe. It was a natural thing to do. And I've been in some churches where they take the Sunday morning offering, and you know what the pastor will do? He'll say, all right, everybody got their tithing envelope, and I see white tithing envelopes all over the auditorium. That is such a beautiful sight, Pastor. Wow, is that a gorgeous sight. See, everybody raise up their giving envelope, and they all drop it in. I can't sit there and be a freeloader. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody mad. That's how I would feel, though, if I'm coming in, my, you folks have a beautiful church. What a wonderful entrance you added. What a prime location on the main road here. Wow, what a beautiful and wonderful opportunity God has given you with this building. But I couldn't feel like I could enjoy all this without doing my part. And God has a part for everybody. It's systematic how it's done. And now that we have missionaries here, I would have to feel like I got to give a little bit more, or maybe a lot more, so I can help those missionaries stay in the field, and I can send some other missionaries over there. Because doesn't want a church grow their mission family every year? I mean, when you step out by faith and step out by faith and grow it and grow it and grow it. If you're tithing on behalf of the pastor, the deacons, the church staff, everybody in church, I'm thanking you for them. Because they appreciate that. I pastored for 30 years. I appreciated our people who tithe. And my advice to you, don't stop. Just keep at it. For those of you who have tithe, or maybe given the missions and kind of drifted away, can I push you back to where you should be? It feels good to give to God through the local church. Oh, you know, when I drop my tithing envelope in, it never hurts. It always feels good. Now, if you've never tithe, folks, you are missing out on such a huge, as Mr. Trump says, our president, huge blessing. And I'll tell you what, I have more when I tithe than if I don't tithe. You say, how's that possible? If you keep 100%, that means you have more than if you give 10% and only have 90%. Well, 90% with God is more than 100% without God. Okay? So if you're not giving and you're attending the church, can I, with a smile, ask you to start. Give it a shot. See what happens. God will bless you. And remember, someday we have to answer to God for our behavior and our actions as a born-again son or daughter of the King. Point number four, Genesis 1:1. I'm not going to turn there. I find it hard to believe in evolution. Now, I don't know how it is down in Peru, brother, if they're teaching that everywhere. But when I got out of high school, it was just starting back in 1970 when I graduated. They were just starting to push creation out. Drugs were just starting to come in. The long hair, they finally let that, the second half of my senior year up there in Middleburg Heights, they finally let the boys grow that. And they used to have dress standards where all the girls had to wear dresses to school. Can you believe there was such a time? There really was. Roe versus Wade. Nobody even thought about that yet. It's a wonderful time I grew up in. But they steadily are pushing and shoving and cramming evolution down the throats and in our minds of our young people. Now, for some reason, your young person attends a public school where they teach that. As a parent, you need to think about what you're doing. Allowing that system to pump evolution into your child, your grandchild's heart and mind. Oh, where our kids go to school, they have a lot of Christians. I don't know if they're allowed to say a whole lot about creation versus evolution. And if they do, they just might lose their job. But I think our whole younger generation is being fed so much nonsense and so much heresy. What's the next generation going to hold? I have a hard time believing in evolution when our bodies have over 1 trillion cells. And for you to tell me that it just all happened over billions of years is a laughable matter, which I cannot believe. I cannot accept that. It's impossible for me to believe in evolution. I'd have to deny everything I am. I'd have to deny the whole Bible if I believed that. I could never believe in evolution. It's intertwined into my fibers of my heart and soul that God created the heavens and the earth. In Colossians 1, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ as the creator. Boy, that'd be a tough one to face in foreign field, teaching creation versus evolution, because at least there's some foundation of Christianity left in America, but many of the foreign fields, you might be starting from scratch. And when you start saying there is no evolution, it was done through creation by Almighty God, you may have a hard road to toe. Point five. Here's another thing. This is a wall that's really up high. I just can't get over this one either. It's hard for me. Getting involved in vices. I have down 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 talks about our body. And of course, we all know the easy vices to talk against, and they should be spoken against. But you know, this medical marijuana now coming into the state of Ohio, and I read where some people don't want any competition. They're going to grow their own marijuana. And for medicinal purposes, how long is that going to last before they vote in recreational marijuana? And again, who's it going to hurt? Not me. I already decided against that stuff a long time ago. Who's it going to hurt? It's going to hurt our young people. It's going to hurt our young people. I mean, just look what's happened in Denver, Colorado, since they brought recreational use of marijuana into their state. It's absolutely horrendous. I wanted to talk about that. I want to talk about casinos, too. Do they have casinos in Peru? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there was a time when Ohio had how many? Zero. Now we have them, seems like, everywhere. And there is a lure in Columbus to that casino on the west side of town to draw people in. Now, here's a point I'm trying to sow in here and weave in here. If our young people are caught up in the evolution, they're disrespecting their elders, they learn from TV and radio and Hollywood to cheat on their future spouse, and they're involved in vices, why would they want to go to the mission field? Like our brother said, the more you read and love, the more you're going to serve. But if they're doing all these other things, then Satan is out there to captivate the minds of our young people. And I still think it's true. More missionaries are coming off the field than new ones are going onto the field. Just the way it seems to be. How about this as a vice? Tattoos. Is that a dangerous thing to talk about? I don't have any tattoos. Full disclosure. No tattoos. Nobody's going to be sticking needles all over my skin. By the way, I did some research on tattoos, and in Columbus, there are some tattoo parlors where people have complained because they got nasty infections and discolorations. Wow. I'm not going to let anybody put that in dye. You say, well, are there some good ones? I hate to say it, but I did read where there were some good ones that had good health. They were passed. Everything was fine. But there was a lot for infection. I'm not going to do that. Man, I've seen these guys with tattoos all over their face. What is that about? And I've seen, I mean, what's going to happen when these people turn 60 or 70 years old and their bodies all sag? I mean, what's that tattoo going to look like then? And to the girls who sang tonight, I was thinking about this point. And Lord have mercy, girls, don't be getting tattoos. I've got 5 kids. You say, do some of them have tattoos? Yes. What'd you do about it? Nothing. They were adults. I'm saddened, though, they did it. Now my one daughter wishes she hadn't done it. Too late! I have a pastor friend out west whose son went to Brother Falwell's school some years back, and he called his dad, and he says, Dad, I've done something really dumb. And his dad and I went to college together, And his dad said, "Ah, what'd you do?" He figured maybe he went out and bought a new car and couldn't pay for it. He says, "I got a tattoo." He says, "You what?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, where is it? How big is it?" He said, "Girls, he got it from his shoulder down to his wrist. The whole sleeve. Tattooed." Now, if you got a tattoo, come on. You see, I have a smile. I'm not picking anybody. I'm trying to save you from getting any more or for anybody even to start with, all right? He had a sleeve, and today he wears a long sleeve shirt wherever he goes. He's so embarrassed about it. I'm not getting a tattoo. Nobody's sticking any needles in me except to take my blood, and I'll even fight that. I'll even fight that one. How does that glorify the Lord in our body and spirit, which are his? How does that glorify? Now, I don't hear a whole lot of people say anything about tattoos. It is unpopular, I know. And maybe somebody has one here who doesn't really like it and wishes I would move on. I kind of wish I was going to move on too really quick, but I think the Lord just wanted me to say that. I mean, if you guys and gals get all these tattoos and you apply through a church and go to the mission field, maybe you're going to use a mission board, what are they going to say? In banks, you have to cover up every tattoo. In the service industry, like FedEx or UPS, you have to put Band-Aid or you have to put mascara to cover up the tattoos because they don't want the public thinking, whatever. Vin Diesel, anybody hear of him? So you're afraid to say yes. All these Fast and Furious films, I've had kids say, "Well, Vin Diesel, his whole body's tattooed. He looks so cool." Do you know those were spray painted on and he doesn't have any tattoos practically? So you're going to pattern your life after somebody in Hollywood you thought got all tattooed up, but they just washed it off when they were done. And then you go out and do it, and you're stuck with it. You pastors, I don't know how you teach it in your church or what you do. Brother Floyd back there, I don't know if you say anything about tattoos or not. I just felt that's a vice. And I think that really takes away. You say, "If I have one, what do I do?" Ask your pastor. How about that for an answer? Go see your pastor. Ephesians 6, for my next point, I find it hard to climb over that big, tall wall to get on the other side to disobey my parents. I never liked disobeying my dad and mom. I mean, mom would always tell me, and dad would always bring that belt out, and dad would wail me, wail. I mean, at 6'3", 250, when that 40-inch belt came off, and he let it loose, it'd get me twice going around, because I was so much smaller than him. Boy. But you know, young people, I loved my dad. I loved my mom. I wanted them to smile at me. I wanted to hear their praises. I didn't want to disappoint them. I didn't want to make them ashamed of me. And the Bible says a child left to himself does what? Brings his mother shame. So I never wanted to hurt my parents, and I never could understand why kids had said things like this. And I've heard it out loud. 30 years in the same church, I've seen parents, I've seen kids grow up, and I've seen kids in our church look at their mom and dad and say, "I hate you." Wow. Now, if I would have said that to my mom or my dad, it was double knuckle sandwich. Double. And then maybe come back for seconds. I hope there's a built-in, deep, abiding love that you'll read Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. And where it talks about honoring your parents. I had one missionary said the only reason he got through to the people where he was at is because he honored and his kids honored him and other people. Boy, I tell you, that can go a long way. What do you think about a child when they sass their parents? Now, what do you think about them? Do you think good or not so good? Probably you think pretty badly of them, and you probably deserve to think it because of their action and their behavior. I need to move on. Number 7, John 6, I have down. I find it hard to quit on Christ and his church. Everywhere I go, I see churches that tell me the glory years. Now, we all know churches had glory years. Many of you pastors, you know about that. I had years when we were really gangbusters, and some years where it got kind of thin. And all of a sudden, you see more pew than people. And that's not fun. And you visit people, and they're just not coming back. They're just coming back. I don't know how many people I met as I went door to door. Oh, yeah, we used to this church and that church, and I was this, and I was a Sunday school teacher, and I drove a bus. And what are you doing now? Nothing. Why? I'm not going back. And for whatever reason they want to throw up there, I can't do that. I cannot quit attending church for whatever reason. Don't you think I've been hurt down the years? I've seen missionaries that just won't quit. No matter how hard it gets over there, they're sticking in there. Pastor Radebaugh back there had been pastoring for 70 years. How did you do that? No one got that except for him. Hey, I'm staying till it's all over, folks. I'm staying till the fat lady sings. I'm not going anywhere. I'm showing up every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. Well, oh, you're a preacher. If I wasn't a preacher, I'm still showing up. Because I love my Lord. I love the church he gave me to serve in. And I'm going to be a cog in that church. I'm going to be a pillar if I have to keep that thing going. I'm in it till it's all over. And if everybody would just get the idea, folks, there's nowhere to go. Isn't that what the Lord said to disciples? Well, you're going to leave too? Oh, no, we can't go, for thou hast the words of life. Where can I hear what I heard tonight from Brother Templeton in the slides, or meet a young missionary couple? That's what thrills my soul. Anything out, there's nothing out there that makes me happy. Well, except when Ohio State beats Michigan, you know. Boy, it really makes me happy. And if that tie disappears out there, I won't be unhappy at all. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. Ask your pastor about that. Folks, stay in church. So some of the newer members here, maybe you haven't been here that long. Stay in church. Don't give up on the Lord. He's worthy of your loyalty and faithfulness. Number 8, Ephesians 4:32 talks about being kind. Here's my point. I find it hard to purposely hurt anyone. There's this thing that was going on a few years ago. It's been going on for decades, but it really came up in the news. It's called knockout. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Whoa. Some of you people are really up. You know what I'm talking about. Teenagers in gangs, to prove their toughness, they will walk up to anybody and cold cock that person as hard as they can. And their goal is to knock that person unconscious. How dark does someone's heart have to be that they would do that? You say, well, certainly they wouldn't do it to seniors. Yes, they do. They've done it to senior women. Anybody here, any lady 74 years old, I was just double checking on it. A lady, I think 74 years old, had that done to her. They laid her out. One man actually died because of it. See, I can't do that. I find that a hard wall to go over. You know, I guess when you're younger in church, the kids will kind of, you know, duke it up a little bit. I've heard where preachers have gotten fights with their deacons and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I understand when tempers get raging, but what these people are doing with that knockout, I just can't do that. I'm not doing it. Nope. I don't care how much you pay me. I'm not hitting anybody like that. That's just not in me. See, I have Christ living in me through the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, I am led by Him. And I think a life of peace is important as we live our daily lives. I could never agree to my wife having an abortion. I couldn't hurt that little child. Never in a million years. We had people who grew up in our church who had abortions. Some did it secretively. And boy, I tell you, guilt got to them. Guilt overcame them. And they'd be at the altar weeping and praying for forgiveness for what they did. That's a real tall wall I can't get over. And it needs to be spoken about. Young people need to understand that. And one of the reasons I am told that Hillary Clinton lost the election, it was during the last debate, and there's a question on being pro-choice or pro-life, and she said she was absolutely in favor of abortion. And all those women in the middle, politically, who were swaying her way, when they heard that, even in the 9th month, they swayed the other way. That was it for her. How could anybody, a grandmother like she is, actually be in favor of such a thing? I just can't hurt people like that. I can't punch my wife. I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. She's a farm girl. She knows how to use a pitchfork when I'm asleep. Would I be squirting some blood out. I told you, Dad was 6'3", 250. Mom was 4'11", barely 100 pounds. You know, I never once heard my dad raise his voice to my mom. I never once saw him go like this. Remember Jackie Gleason would, whoa. I never saw my dad do that. He treated her like a queen. She had it all. I saw how my dad treated my mom, his wife. So I treat my wife the same way. And I have two boys who are married. They treat their wives the same way I treat my wife, their mother, the same way my dad treated his wife, my mom. See how that works? Spousal abuse is just terrific. When I was pastoring downtown the first couple of years, I'm watching the time. I'm getting ready to wind this up, okay? We were fixing a bus, and there was the house next door where the husband and wife are always just yelling, screaming, cussing, swearing in the inner city. And we're underneath the bus fixing it. And I had a guy named Rod May. Rod May, and I'm not kidding, 6'3", 280, played offensive guard for Woody Hayes, tore his knee up and couldn't finish. He had a big, giant barrel chest. Boy, could he lift the weights. He would hold the transmission, and I'm putting the screws in, you know, getting all the bolts in. He would just pick it up. He's so strong. Well, on a certain day, we were out there. It's getting late, and this guy and his wife's fighting, and the guy hit his wife. And she fell down flat. She was out. And Rod says, wait a second, Pastor. He says, you want to hold this transmission? I said, no. He put it in the ground, and he got up. Next thing I know, I heard it again. This time, her husband was down like that. I can't do that. Child abuse, all these things of hurting people. When the Bible talks about kindness. Number 9. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 talks about evil communication corrupts good manners. I'm not going to run with the children of disobedience. I'm not hanging out with the wrong crowd. I had my choice growing up. And every time I did something with the wrong crowd, guess what? I got caught. They didn't. I got caught. Why did I get caught? Holy Spirit. He was chastising me. You know, you read Hebrews there, how that works. And of course, I asked Dad, hey, Dad, can I date that girl? No. Hey, Dad, can I date that girl? No. Hey, Dad, can I stay out with that gang there? He'd look at them long-haired hippies. No. I said, Dad, can I go to this movie? He said, no. I said, Dad, can I stay out 2 a.m.? No. Everything was no. Wow. I never heard yes at all. I'm glad he said that, though. I'd have been in a whole lot of trouble. I don't want to run with the children of disobedience. What do I have in common with them? What am I going to talk about? All they want to do is take the Lord's name in vain. I don't want to go places with them and do things with them. We have no interest. You say, who do you want to hang around with? All you elderly folks. I want to chill with you till about 7 o'clock, then go to bed. I must push on. And Pastor, I'm just going to turn it over to you however you want to close it so you can be prepared. The last thing that I find hard to do, Amnon found it hard to sin till he got that friend. Large, tall walls have been built between me and sin, and I find a lot of these things hard to do. My last one, 1 John 2, 8 through 11, talks about hating your brother. I find it hard to be a hater. I'm just not a hater. They say one of the reasons that Mr. Trump's ratings are low, or Congress has a reason for theirs, and Mrs. Clinton's and other politicians, why their ratings were so low, is because everybody's a hater blogging. Everybody just hates and hates and hates on everybody else. So many young people have been emotionally disturbed because they go on Facebook or they go on other sites and they see people who don't like them and who lie about them. They get their feelings hurt and they can't take it. That's not me. I'm not a hater. I'm just going to go around hating everybody. I really like people. I genuinely like people, even from the state up north. I got to get a couple zingers in here. I'm not holding grudges. I'm not doing it. I had a difference of opinion with one person, and I think we're kind of okay. Okay? I think I'm kind of okay, and I think that person's kind of okay. So one person out of 7 billion people on planet Earth, maybe I'm a little ouchy about. But all the other 6,999,999,999 people, I'm A-okay. I'm good. I'm not carrying around any guilt. I'm not carrying around grudges. I'm not carrying around any bitterness. I don't have any hate. I don't hate people who go to other churches that don't have our name on it. I had people when I was growing up at that church there, well, when I was pastoring, they would work in really wicked environments, And they would meet somebody from another denomination that didn't have the name Baptist. And I'm not going to say anything what other denomination it might have been. But they were born again believers and believed solidly. And they said, Pastor, we need each other in that office. It is so wicked and evil. I'm not going to be hating on people anywhere. I'm just not doing it. I'm not going to load up my back and all my baggage with hate, or I'm just looking to hate everybody. And I've had people, and I believe the Bible like everybody else here. I've had the people who get into all the hate over the Bibles and that. If you don't believe the King James was 25 times over preserved and breathed, and I just there's no end to it. I don't have time for that. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, this King James Bible. And there are people I've met who don't really understand it, Pastor, and they use something else. Now, if I get a chance, I'm going to show them the best way to go. But how about you? Are you a hater? You hating people? Hating on your pastor? Hating on pastor's wife? Hating on somebody on the other side? Well, that's a terrible thing to carry around. I think I mentioned one time before, Pastor, get ready to come. I had a missionary I supported, went to a country. I think it was Greece. He came in. He knew everything about the country. He loved it. He couldn't wait to go. He went there for 3 years. Then he came back. He sent me a missionary letter. And he says, in the missionary letter, Pastor Lapis, pray for me. I'm changing fields. And I thought, that's odd. And he came to my office, and we talked. I finally said, brother, why are you leaving that field? And his neck just tightened up, and all these veins are popping out everywhere. He says, I'm leaving because I hate those people. Guess he was treated pretty badly. He probably did the right thing coming home. Wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you agree? People hate the Perusians, and it's probably a good idea for them to come home. They're taking money under false pretenses anyway. I don't know if the guy ever got healing in that area or not, but I just find that really hard to do. To be a hater. Father, bless the invitation as Pastor comes at this time. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.